Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It is Saturday, July 14th, 2012. I'm Harley Schlanger and I will be your host. Well, there have been a series of extraordinary developments this last week which have opened the door for a dramatic transformation of world politics and economics. And we're going to be discussing that on the program today, not to give you information, but to get you off your rear ends, because this may be our last and best chance at changing policies prior to the complete meltdown of the financial system. On the one side, there are scandals, like the fixing of interest rates, the so-called LIBOR, which was illegally done by leading banks. Then we have the implications of these scandals in terms of avoidable deaths which have occurred due to budget cuts so that cash-strapped cities and states can pay the debts to investment banks for these worthless financial instruments while cutting police and fire protection, health care, and so on. Lyndon LaRouche correctly points out that those involved in this scandal, the LIBOR scandal, including President Barack Obama and Treasury Secretary Geithner, who was involved in it when he was president of the New York Federal Reserve before he became Treasury Secretary, that Obama and Geithner should be removed from office at once for their roles in facilitating the murder of American citizens by these investment banks and then covering up for it. Then we have the dramatic moves from leading players in the City of London, who announced in the last week their support for a return to Franklin Roosevelt's Glass-Steagall Bill. Yes, you heard that right, that there are key elements in the City of London who have come around to what we've been saying, what Lyndon LaRouche has been insisting on for the last several years, that Glass-Steagall is necessary. These announcements, including, in of all places, the Financial Times, are an opening to the United States. Are there political leaders in the U.S. who will respond to this opening from the United Kingdom, from the belly of the beast, so to speak? Well, Lyndon LaRouche has responded. He may be the only one qualified to respond, but he has responded. And on today's program, we're going to discuss the significance of these scandals and how they've opened the door for a new era in history. If, and this is a big if we can muster the guts and determination to see it through. My guest today on the program will be Dave Christie, candidate for the Democratic Party nomination for U.S. Congress, a part of the LaRouche slate, running in the 9th Congressional District in Washington State, and Kasia Kruszkowski, who is a leader of the Busso Party in North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany, the most populated and industrialized area in the country. She's been a candidate for office there twice. She spent time in the United States and was recently at the webcast done by Helga Zepp LaRouche with Jacques Cheminade, which actually is part of shaping of this whole environment. Now, before I get to them, though, I want to just fill out this picture a little bit, because the U.S. media has, as usual, done a very good job of covering up the full significance of these developments. So what we're going to be talking about is, first of all, the breakdown of the European Union, which will include the crash of the euro under the effect of a hyperinflationary bailout policy, where even the most drastic bailout measures, that is, the most pumping of liquidity imaginable, cannot keep up with the accumulation of the debt they have to cover. We're talking about 9 trillion euros of bank debt that where banks need recapitalization. There's no way in the world they can come up with that. Under those circumstances, there is a recognition of this which caused the reversal by key layers in the United Kingdom, in certain banks, Peter Hambros of Hambros Bank. Very significantly, the Financial Times, in an editorial, said that they had favored the Dodd-Frank bill of Britain, which is the ring-fencing proposal, which is not Glass-Steagall, but they said they now realize it won't work, and therefore we have to go to full Glass-Steagall. Why? Well, this is where the LIBOR scandal comes in. The London interbank offered rate, LIBOR, is a mechanism by which interest rates are set by, I think it's 12 or 16 major banks. And what they do is they put out what they have to pay for money. That is what the banks have to pay to borrow money. And then that becomes the rate that's generally accepted by central banks, governments, and so on. Now, the problem is that Barclays Bank acknowledged, and in fact, they were hit with a very large fine, a $450 million fine, over the fact that they admitted that they were misstating the actual rate. And then it turns out that all the banks were doing that. It turns out that Timothy Geithner knew this back in 2007, 2008. And at that time, as a regulator, the president of the New York Federal Reserve, should have turned these guys in. Instead, he said, well, let's see if we can straighten this out at some point in the future. Now, the reason they didn't straighten it out is that the LIBOR rate, the lie about what the rate is, gives the banks a competitive advantage. That is, if the banks know what the rates will be, they can pass that on to the investment brokers who work in their banks, who can then bet the bank's money to make money for the bank, even while selling faulty instruments. And among the fraudulent instruments they sold were interest rate swaps to cities and state governments and county governments and municipal authorities in the United States to protect them against an increase in interest rates. Now, if interest rates went up, the investment banks would have to pay. But if interest rates stayed down, then the counties, the cities, the governments would have to pay the investment banks. Well, the investment banks already knew the interest rates were going to stay down. So they defrauded cities and states. The city of Baltimore has a suit against them. The state of Massachusetts has an investigation underway. There are hundreds of counties and cities that have laid off police and firemen and doctors and nurses and shut down ambulance services in order to pay these illegal, fraudulent claims of the investment banks. Now, that's the scandal, that people are dying because of these lies, that gives us the potential today to get Glass-Steagall through. The Glass-Steagall bill that almost alone, Lyndon LaRouche in the United States and Helga Zepp-LaRouche and Jacques Cheminade and our allies in Europe have been fighting for. So that's the background to the discussion we're going to have today. What we're going to discuss today, so our listeners can prepare themselves, is what you have to do, not what we're doing. We're doing what we've always done. We've just forced this breakthrough. We just forced the potential for the City of London to come to Lyndon LaRouche and ask him, can you get us some political leaders in the United States who will go through with this? The key, then, is up to you, what you're going to do. And I'd like to begin with Kasia, who is back in Germany. Helga Zepp-LaRouche and Jacques Cheminade gave a webcast last Sunday. It's available on the LaRouchePact.com website. But from that time to now, Kasia, give us a sense of what we're doing in Germany, and of course subsequent events, including the Constitutional Court's ruling or non-ruling this week. Where do things stand in Europe right now?
Well, wherever you look in Europe right now, it shows an acceleration of breakdown economically, but also socially. And I will just want to give some examples, especially on the southern part of Europe, which is like the scapegoat for the financial crisis, which is, if you believe the media, just a euro crisis. And in Spain, for example, you have now the parliament in Spain just ratified the fourth austerity package within 7 months, and the prime minister of Spain, Rajoy, just said, well, we cannot choose whether or not to have sacrifices. We do not have such freedom. So there's like further cuts in jobless benefits, pensions, social security, and whatnot. And you have already in the recent days, also today, huge demonstrations of people since the 24 hours after his speech. And there's going to be much, much more protests. I mean, just in Spain, you have over 50% unemployment among the youth, and in some regions, it goes even unto 70%, which, you know, there's like no hope at all.
And, Gotcha. Let me just ask you, on the Spanish situation, there were various figures thrown out, about $100 billion, $30 billion, $60
right.
billion. But
yeah.
our assessment is that even just one bank, Banco Santander, you're talking about hundreds, $800 billion, a trillion euros that are going to be needed just for the banks.
Right, right. Well, they celebrated, actually, after that was decided at the late June's EU summit, that it is a victory for Spain because it was not attached to any austerity packages like it was the case in Greece. But just some days later, the Prime Minister of Spain announced to the Parliament 65 euro cuts, billion cuts, within the next 3 years. So it's like totally insane. And they're still giving
a
the line that...
A short celebration.
Yeah, of course, the celebration of a dead corp. It's like crazy. In Ireland, for example, it shows also that the Troika policy is just killing, because there's new figures coming out now that the suicides increased by 7% from last year. And in Ireland alone, there was almost 600, mostly young men, who killed themselves out of desperation. And, you know, Troika's response to the government was, you have to cut the 2% deficit in the public health sector. I mean, there's like, it's totally insane. In Greece, for example, the unemployment hit a record high of 22.5% in April, and where the age group between 15 and 24 is the most affected by the unemployment. And I think that's similar to the U.S. situation right now, where youth throughout Europe don't see any hope, don't see any purpose of their lives. And that is what we really, really have to change. And that was also the emphasis in the webcast, which, you know, if people missed that, they really have to watch it. Concerning Germany, I mean,
Just before we get to Germany, I want to make one point, because I think it's so important what you just pointed out. If you look at what's being done for Spain, Ireland, Greece, the so-called pigs countries, Portugal and Italy,
right?
What they're saying is that it's government debt that's the problem, sovereign debt. But the fact is that these figures came out that there's $9 trillion in recapitalization needed for the banks, and the total debt in all these countries is about $3.25 trillion. So that,
right.
in fact, they're killing people to pay the bank debt.
Yes. And that got pretty much more, people got much more aware of that with this LIBOR scandal, which we don't call it a scandal, but really as genocide. We have also, if you think that the media here is like very, they report on it, but they don't show the dimension of it. And people are heard something about the scandal, but they have no idea about what is actually behind that and what it actually means. So we push a lot. We concerning also the defense position now in Germany against this Basel policy, which is really very important. On the question of the ESM and the fiscal pact and further bailouts, which we, you know, put in context to this whole question on the banks bailouts.
Right.
I don't know if people are familiar with the ESM mechanism.
Go ahead. It's the European Stability Mechanism. Go ahead and explain what it means.
Yeah. Well, it's just something which they came up again. It's a mechanism which could directly capitalize banks when there is, you know, a functioning European control. So it secures not only debts of nations, but also debts of banks. And here you have it, right? And its volume is of no safeguard. So because the mechanism to increase the volume is already in there. And we know from the past that this will be used in any case. And it's basically the question of establishing a dictatorship in Europe with no possibility to change it afterwards. So what happened in Germany in the beginning of this week is of crucial importance to defend people's rights, because there were a couple of legal challenges from different groups against this at the Constitutional Court in Karlsruhe, which held its hearing on Tuesday this week. And that led finally to an open discussion on the whole question of the bailout policy, which you did not have at all in Germany before. We were really the only one in mobilizing and trying to get that on you know, spread. And it came out that the government who voted for this ESM, who ratified it, the government never permitted a platform for posing alternatives to the bailouts. And they also did not invite any sufficient number of critics of the ESM to balance out the pro-ESM experts at the hearings in the German parliament. So there was a hectic scheduling of the debate. So no discussions were permitted that would challenge the bailout policy as such. And the issue was rammed through in only 2 hours without parliamentarians knowing exactly what they were voting for.
And this is crucial in Germany, because Germany is one of the few surplus countries that actually is going to have to provide the funds for the ESM and the European Central Bank and whatever other bailout funds they come up with.
Right, right. And it's funny because the two, you know, strongest nations are Germany and then is France, and there's already voices saying that France will be the next bomb in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is totally nuts if you believe that Germany can bail out all the banks of Europe. it's Helga called it the second Treaty of Versailles, and we know from history where that led to. Concerning the hearings, it was very interesting because in the opening remarks of the Kurd president, he said in the hearing that even in extraordinary crisis situations, the constitution cannot be set aside. And maybe that is something very normal for Americans, but it's very important that he said that, because there is it is directed against the Nazi ideology of Carl Schmitt, on which many politicians and also the media are referring to in the last couple of weeks and also still, that an emergency situation makes the law. That is, you know, that is the way how Hitler pushed through his enabling acts and established his dictatorship. And they are using this argument, we have to do it, we cannot look at the constitution, we cannot be limited to any laws, because now is the time, we have to save the euro, we have to bail out the banks, otherwise, you know, everything is ending in chaos. And we just throw everything out of the window, what, you know, people, patriots in Europe were fighting for centuries, and now they are saying, because we have this crisis, we cannot rely on any of these principles or laws, we just have to go for it. And that's
so, Kasia, then what's important is that in Germany, because you had the resistance of Helga Zepp-LaRouche, your campaigns, our organization, inspired and mobilized a group of economists, for a variety of reasons, some not such good economists, but at least some resistance that led to these legal cases. And now the Constitutional Court is saying there is a higher law than the immediate need for bailing out banks.
Yeah, I wanted to go into it because it's very important, because we are mobilizing that for quite some time. And we were calling through the members of the parliament in the different districts, but also the German state parliament, and also different groups, especially economists, and also the professors who were also against the euro. And one good example is that one of these professors, in the text of his legal challenge, is headlined by a famous phrase by Friedrich Schiller, where it says that is the scourge of the evil deed, that it is forced to forever give birth to evil, where he's like warning against the automatism of the bailout strategy. And this very same phrase has so far been the exclusive trademark of Helga Zepp-LaRouche in many of her statements in the recent years on the euro collapse. So it's really clear that that we were building up this momentum right now, and we really, really have to use it to get also the alternative to the public debate. Because Glass-Steagall, there was no idea. People had no idea about regulations and what actually happened. And it took quite some time. We had hundreds of thousands of leaflets distributed at all different institutions, but also especially on the streets, talking to people, what it is all about. So we have concerning this constitution, hearing, because there was a lot of pressure put on the court to. For instance, also by the German finance minister, but they made very clear that since the signature on these treaties means that such international treaties cannot be taken back once signed, even if the court later finds that it opposed the German constitution, they just said we will go for it, and they indicated also that the court might take more than these usually three weeks. And that obviously makes the pushers for the ESM and the dictatorship very desperate, and you really see it because there's no other way just to print money, and we know what that means.
Well, Tasha, stay with us because we'll get back to you. But it's extremely important for people in the United States to hear this kind of report on the changes taking place in Europe, because this is a very big part of what's causing the shift that's occurring among certain sectors in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom. As Lyndon LaRouche has pointed out, there's a recognition that what Helga said in her very important statement, and by the way, go to LaRouchePact.com where you can get Helga Zepp LaRouche's statement on no to the new Versailles Treaty. It's extremely important because it goes through how, in the beginning, the whole Euro project was designed to destroy the nation state, to eliminate national sovereignty, and to create a hyperinflationary collapse under which governments would be forced to give up protecting the people with social programs and so on. So that was the background to the Financial Times, Hambros, some of these very significant political networks inside the United Kingdom coming out and saying, we have to go with Glass-Steagall. Now, let me bring in our other guest today, Dave Christie, because he was on a conversation with Lyndon LaRouche on Monday, where Lyndon LaRouche had his weekly discussion with the candidate slate and laid out a perspective for us taking this into the United States and showing that there are political networks in the U.S. that will respond to this offer from the British. So, Dave, give us a sense of what that discussion was with Mr. LaRouche on Monday.
Well, I think that obviously what this calls the LIBOR scandal, which we'll be figuring out as this thing unfolds how grand it is. I mean, the Commodities Futures Trading Corporation was saying that they estimate this is around $900 trillion of loans, swaps, futures contracts, all this kind of stuff. And I think one of the things that's happening is coincident with the British deciding that they want to move on Glass-Steagall. Now you have this scandal erupting. And, you know, one of the things that did come up in the various networks in Great Britain calling for Glass-Steagall was that they also needed a PCORA commission. And this is the prime atmosphere to make clear, you know, the idea of a PCORA commission, of getting the anger of the population to move Glass-Steagall, because that's in effect how it did happen under Franklin Roosevelt, when Ferdinand PCORA put J.P. Morgan and a number of these top henchmen up on the stand, and we found out what kind of criminal activities they were involved in. That helped push the political momentum to get Glass-Steagall through, and, you know, the other elements of the New Deal through. And so I think that's one thing that's breaking out on this LIBOR scandal. And I would like to make the point on this that what we are dealing with here is a criminal case. It is not a civil case that, for as much as Lynn and LaRouche may know about physical economics and that a financial system is only should only be used for the development of the physical economy, that there's no disconnect between the two, I think you have also a very clear knowledge of that coming from top layers within the international financial oligarchy, who know that what they were doing with the financial system was not just simply enriching themselves and, you know, making some more money, because I think some of them probably have more money than God, but that they were using the financial system to kill people off. And that's what we're now beginning to see with what's been going on with the budget cuts in the cities and so on. So I think now what we're with the revelations on this and the idea of showing what these guys were doing in a Pecora style, you know, commission, that's what we're in terms of getting the political momentum behind Glass-Steagall. But I would just say one thing. We had a discussion with some union figures around here and the Pacific Northwest, and went through the actual support over the years for Glass-Steagall, because as people may know, there is a bill in Congress. We have 71 co-sponsors on it. This is House Resolution 1489. We have numerous endorsements of labor. The National AFL-CIO has sent a letter on Marcy Kaptur's H.R. 1489. You've got the Aerospace Machinists, farm labor organizations, you name it. We've got wide support. And so one of the questions that this labor leader asked is, why hasn't this moved forward? And that what came up was that, you know, look, these guys, Obama has, you know, said he will not allow Glass-Steagall to go through.
Dave, let me just pick it up in a moment from that, because that's an important thing. I just want to let our listeners know you're listening to The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, July 14th, 2012. This program will be archived on LaRouchePub.com, and we should make sure that people get to hear it, because what we're talking about, what Kasia went through in Europe, what Dave is going through in the United States, this is not just an exposure of a scandal. This is a call to action where the patriotic forces in Germany, patriotic forces in the United States, must take up this challenge. Now, I'm glad you brought up the Obama question, because just as this scandal demonstrates the corruption at its core of the whole financial system, we see the same thing in terms of the Obama administration, with the fact that Timothy Geithner, who was Federal Reserve President for the Bank of New, for the New York Fed, was in the middle of discussions with Barclays on the LIBOR problem back in 2007-2008. This included a period of time during the beginnings of the bailout, where Geithner worked very closely with Bernanke and Paulson in the Bush administration, and then Geithner and Bernanke were the continuity, the continuation under Obama. Now, Dave, I want you to actually take this up from a slightly different standpoint, because you have gotten a significant section of the Democratic Party in Washington State to endorse Glass-Steagall. Many legislative districts, many candidates, and yet, as you point out, it still isn't law. And the on the one side, you have the Obama problem, but I think the other side is that none of these forces yet have taken this as a life-or-death situation. Just give us a little bit of sense of how you're fighting to make bring these people into the battle.
Well, you know, I think that is the significant point. That is one of the things that Lynn had brought up in the discussion that we did have with him on Monday, was that, you know, what you have from the British is, and, you know, I'll say this, that the British oligarchy, you do have a range of view and opinion. You have, of course, the Prince Philip crowd, which says we're going to limit world population to less than 1 billion, and he revels in the killing people off. You know, on the other side, you do have people who are patriots of the United Kingdom, but who also have a sense that, for better or for worse, they have taken responsibility for mankind, you know, and I think that's one of the problems that we're seeing now within the political layers, is they don't have the guts and the moral commitment to say, I don't care what the opposition is, I know that this has to go through, and therefore I'm going to drive it. And so, you know, one thing is in our mobilization to get the signers on, or, you know, to get the mobilization around Glass-Steagall, because here in Washington State, for example, we have 11 legislative districts who have endorsed it. These are Democratic Party organizations at a local layer. Three county Democratic Party organizations. The whole state, Washington State Democratic Party, also endorsed it. In fact, it is part of their questionnaire. If you are a candidate and seeking endorsement, you have to answer whether or not you support Glass-Steagall.
And Dave, so, this all came about because of your initiative.
Exactly.
In the LaRouche slate.
Exactly. Yes, as part of a national mobilization. And what would come up invariably was always the, you know, the fight around the Obama and the fact that we put a Hitler mustache on him, as you know, LaRouche had laid out in terms of the health care fight and so on, what Obama actually represents, which we are now seeing fully play out of a Hitlerian drive for dictatorship and so on. So, but that would always come up in these fights around Glass-Steagall, because there was a certain element of support for this, but then it was, well, it's you LaRouche people, and we're not going to support you because of we're not going to support this initiative because of the Hitler mustache. And we fought with them and got these various endorsements. And I think now what we're beginning to see on the Obama question, there's been numerous public admissions by even DNC people about the fact that the support for Obama is dwindling in Washington State. One lady, she referred to it saying, I've heard the grumblings out there, and I know that the support for Obama is dwindling. We have qualified sources that say that the amount of volunteers that came out in the 2008 campaign for Obama and other Democrats is down 90% from 2008 to 2012. So that shows that they're in. We run into this in the streets all the time. You know, of course, we get the Obama, what's left of them, to come out and shriek and yell. But largely, people don't want him around. They obviously don't want Romney around either, because that's not a qualified solution. And I think that comes back to what Lynn had said, is that, you know, we're dealing with a situation that the British decision to move this forward on Glass-Steagall, in light of, you know, what the LIBOR scandal is being a public admission of how much of a fraud the system has been, but that it, Glass-Steagall has no room for Obama or Romney, and that they will be dumped. And that's what we have to do now, is move Glass-Steagall forward, take this as this criminal policy of what this LIBOR scandal, you know, is actually unfolding, where people are dying across the United States because of this policy, and that this be the political momentum to finally get Glass-Steagall through. And we have led it every step along the way in the United States. I mean, it's very clear. If you look at the endorsers, the signers, the people that have come forward to this, we have direct connections to just about everybody that has come out on it.
Now, let me bring this back to Kasia, because you've been in the United States for, I don't know, the last 3, 4, 5 months. You've seen the fight in the United States. Now you're back in Germany, and I'd like to ask you, because you brought up this question of Carl Schmitt and the fact that we're beginning to see the actual issues being discussed in the Constitutional Court, but you still cannot say that Obama is going with a Hitler policy, can you, in Germany?
Well, you can describe it pretty much, because there's an awareness that this Obama, who was for change and everything, that he did not change anything at all. He made things much worse. That there is actually a growing awareness of that, and there's, you know, even one newspaper brought up very courageous the question is, you know, if Obama is, you know, still, you know, in office for a long time or something. So there's more awareness because there's you cannot cover, you know, hide all these things what he did in the just in the recent months. So if it's the drive for war, how is it the hyperinflation policy, the austerity policy, the cuts in healthcare and everything? So no, there's really very few people left who believe in the hero, Obama. But what we are doing, what we really have to do here in Germany, in Europe as well, is that we are actually the only one who put this policy of the EU, the Troika, and everything, this whole drive for the financial dictatorship, into the worldwide context, especially with the U.S. situation right now and Obama's policy. And obviously with this LIBOR genocide. And what you always see as soon as there is an upshift in direction to the Glass-Steagall, like with the 70 congressional candidates supporting for Glass-Steagall, then you have a really spark of optimism. When we brief people about that, they really are relieved because even if people don't want to admit it, they know that the big first step has to come from the U.S. concerning the mobilization for Glass-Steagall, the change in policy in general. And you saw that also with the move out from the city of London, giving this challenge basically to work together. And Germany, being the most important country in Europe right now for this, you know, possible shift, is very helpful to give people an idea that there's, you know, that they can still have their vacations and still have their dreams and whatnot, but after we won this fight, because now is the time to fight. And people get very much inspired on the mobilization, especially in the U.S. right now, because you see the presidency of Obama, you know, just collapsing at, you know, at any moment, and that you have this big push through our mobilization that we have the alternative really close to the table. We just have to put it on now.
Well, Kasia, I have two quick questions for you. The first one is probably quicker than the second one, but has there been coverage in Germany, for example, the Financial Times Deutschland, of the discussion going on in Britain on Glass-Steagall, and is it also occurring in Germany?
There is more coverage now than before, for sure. It's just that it's just not the dimension which you would like to have it. They talk about this huge scandal, but still there's no talk about, what the alternative is actually. That we have to push much, much more for that. There's still not an open discussion mm-hmm. about that.
Now, I want to come back to you in a few minutes to ask you about the other part of the solution, which was an extremely exciting part of Helga's webcast. That is the whole discussion of global development, including beginning in Southern Europe. But let me just come back to Dave for a minute, because, Dave, you have a primary that's kind of a strange primary. I guess it's August 7th is the official date, but people have to start voting via mail next week. Am I right on that?
Yes. They, I believe, either receive or the ballots are sent out next Thursday.
And it's all done through the mail, is that right?
All done through the mail, yes. It's somewhat of a strange system, but I don't know if it's to save money or to make sure that the Diebold machines comes out on top in the end.
So what are we doing now in terms of the day-to-day mobilization? What are we saying to people? I know that we had this very large deployment in Washington, D.C., on Wednesday, and Mr. LaRouche said, we're going to do that every week. We had days of action throughout the country to bring this whole Glass-Steagall LIBOR fight into the forefront. What are we doing? What are you doing with your campaign in Washington State?
Well, we have a town hall meeting tomorrow, and that will be followed up in the Renton area, one of the cities in the district, which is actually has one of the Boeing facilities there. There's a lot of aerospace, a lot of very important industry, Port of Tacoma and so on in the district, and it really is a nerve center for the state as a whole. So our deployment in and around the district ends up intersecting not even just the state of Washington, but the whole Pacific Northwest in terms of, you know, people coming through and, you know, people who do business in the area and so on and so forth. But and then we have another town hall meeting 2 weeks from now, which will be really the last weekend before the final Tuesday, which people can mail in their ballots. But from that period, from this weekend on till basically the end of the primary, we're going to be doubling what we have here in terms of, you know, activists out deployed. And we intend to not just shake up simply the congressional district, but throughout the whole state to mobilize this state in particular, because you do have a history around, you know, not just the mobilization that we've led on Glass-Steagall, but also the fact that this Senator Cantwell, who had teamed up with John McCain in 2009 to put forward a bill to get to put Glass-Steagall in, as an amendment into the Dodd-Frank bill, which of course, were it passed as part of the Dodd-Frank, it would have basically made Dodd-Frank null and void, and Glass-Steagall would again been law of the land. And that was sabotaged by the Obama administration. But I think that's somewhat what we do need, a Senate bill. We are mobilizing across the nation to get more signers and a Senate bill in, but I think this will have it's a very unique timing around the campaign to do what we were doing with the slate all along. These were not local campaigns to just simply run, throw out some yard signs and do door-to-door and get people to vote for us as candidates. But rather, as a national slate, it was to represent a single, coherent, unified policy of Glass-Steagall to, you know, stop this whole bailout and return to sane banking. And then, of course, the national banking policy, Hamilton's design, which says that, you know, we don't have to beg to the international bond traders and so on to finance our development, but that we can issue out our own credit based on the credibility of the types of projects and increases of technology and scientific capability and so on that we do in the economy. And that's what gives credibility to the debt that we go into to finance the future. And that, of course, is what NWAPA is all about.
I was going to say, our listeners can get the NWAPA pamphlet now. It's, I think, a bargain discount price of $25, but it's available through LaRouche PAC, the NWAPA 21 report. Now, Dave, if someone wants to find out more about your statements, what you're doing, you have a website, right?
Yes, davechristie.us. That's the website there.
And it's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E.
Yep, davechristie.us.
And that's where people can find your up-to-date statements. And if there are people in Washington State who want to get involved, they could also contact you through that, right?
Right, and through the email on the website, which is we've been getting a nice steady flow. Both people, denouncing our stance on Obama. However, I found that in writing them back and explaining what we actually mean by what Obama has done, even that support for Obama wears thin. You know, there will be usual admissions quite right away after one email response where they say, well, yes, of course, I know Obama is doing the same thing that Bush and Cheney did. And so we have gotten a good steady response from the email on the website as well. So, I want to make one.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead.
I just want to make one quick point here is, you know, the level of discussion around NWAPA. And keep in mind, this is Washington State, the core of the green insanity, the environmentalism. We bring up NWAPA, and the irony is here in Washington State, you do have the core of the old FDR tradition, the Grand Coulee Dam. I mean, the state wouldn't exist were it not for the Grand Coulee Dam and the Bonneville Dams and so on that actually created the electricity that we could process the aluminum, and of course the aluminum then became the part of the aerospace in the region that was how we built the war machine to destroy the Nazis. So you have this conflicting, industry tied to the FDR legacy versus this insanity of the environmentalism green disease, right? So with NWAPA, that throws the challenge right back on them. And, you know, there's a wide range of support amongst labor and so on who see that this is going to provide 6 million jobs. But it always comes down to, you know, the fights around the environmentalism and also the fight that these guys don't feel like they can get anything done under Obama. And on that note, I think it's very significant that the AFL-CIO is now talking that they are not going to be giving money for the Democratic Convention coming up in early September, that they're going to have their own rally, in part nominally because it's the state, North Carolina, is a right-to-work state and there's no union hotels and so on. But I think there's the other part of this, which is that there is a revolt amongst labor who knows that Obama has done nothing for this country and even worse than that. And what we have got to do is accelerate these guys and say, quit with the lame protests, move to get him out before the convention so that we can get this single integrated policy that the slate has pushed of Glass-Steagall, national banking, and NWAPA. So that's I think that's where we stand, and that's what people should get involved with my campaign and the National Slate's campaign, because we've led the fight all along, and we're not going to give up on it now that we're this close to victory.
Well, that brings me right back to what I wanted to bring up with Kasia. And let me just restate that the underlying issue that we're discussing is that the moment now exists where we could get Glass-Steagall and we could bring down the criminal elements behind the bailout through the murderous scandals coming out on LIBOR and also the potential for a break with Glass-Steagall coming out of the United Kingdom. Now, Kasia, Dave just brought up this question of environmentalism, and of course, you're very familiar with that from the Greenie movement in Germany. But I was very struck by the excitement and enthusiasm that came from Mrs. LaRouche and her discussion of the development policies, because clearly, if we were to get out of the straitjacket of the euro, out of the deadly control of the City of London finance over the euro, and return this to national sovereignty and development projects, there's still a lot that can be done in Europe. And if you can just give us a sense of the scope of what was presented by Helga, I think that'd be very useful to follow up what Dave just said about NWAPA.
Yeah, it is. It is clear that, you know, Glass-Steagall is necessary now, but it's also just the first step, and you have to go to the credit system to finance, you know, to be able to finance a real economic recovery. And we had put together with help of engineers a development program for Spain, Greece, Italy, and Africa. I mean, this whole southern European countries were, you know, who are, you know, blamed for the euro crisis right now. And by that, going through the possibilities, the huge potential in each of these nations to regain their dignity and you know, how to recover, how to rebuild the economy, how to give people and the next generations a future worth to live in. And we have for each of these, we have for each nation laid out, you know, what concrete projects are actually already, you know, existing, planned out, waiting to be, you know, implemented. A lot of projects were just put on hold by the EU because of, you know, the financial crisis, which is so insane. So showing this huge potential is very, very important to free people from their, you know, green deceits. So that's really the only way how to overcome that. And it's very, very effective, because the one thing is, on the one side, you have to get people really angry on what is going on right now. That you have to basically provoke the right passions. On the one side, anger also belongs to that, because people should be angry. They should be furious about that we are living in a world which tolerates that more and more people are being sacrificed for a banking system, when at the same time you could use just a very tiny amount of what, you know, you're dealing with these bailout packages to rebuild a nation. And that you live in a world where there's, you know, people still living under conditions of the Stone Age, right? And people, you know, whole continents are going under because of diseases and hunger. I mean, things which we already know how to deal with and how to prevent. And just because of, you know, the money is not there, it's not going to change. But that is not the problem. So,
yeah, Kasia, just on that point, I'd like to mention that the figure given on Barclays bailout is almost $900 billion.
Right.
Was given from the Treasury and the Federal Reserve to Barclays Bank and the Bank of England. $900 billion, that would fund a lot of these development projects.
Probably all of it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, right. And, you know, the other passion you have to really awaken in people is just, you know, if you provoke their imagination, how the world could and should look like. And the way how Hagar Zeptarush was painting this picture during the webcast, and also what is shown in the written report we have in several languages, and also the animations which you can see on the internet, on the website, it's really very impressive, because you really get a sense of how easy it would be to you know, build up this world and make humanity, you know, preparing for the next, step. And so that is something which we are organizing now fully in throughout Europe with the different layers, and also to get it spread together with the Glass-Steagall mobilization. We have two pamphlets, one on the Glass-Steagall and what it means as the mean, and then the second one we just published as a mass pamphlet, the European economic miracle for Southern Europe, Europe and Africa.
Kasia, is that available on your website in English,
or is it
in English?
It is translated in different languages: German, English, Spanish. And
give our English speaking listeners where to go on the website to find it.
Well, the English one should be also on the LaRouche bag. Actually,
okay,
and I don't know about the other languages, but the different. We have all the links also on the LaRouche PEC website. You find all the international links. And
so there's no excuse for people not knowing what the alternative is.
Right.
But look, we have just a little over 5 minutes, and I want to just hone in at the end on this question of how to use these scandals, the murderous scandals of the fixing of interest rates and the destruction of national sovereignty, destruction of nations to bail out banks, to give people a sense of what they can do. So, Kasia, what are we going to be doing in Germany in the days and weeks ahead to shift the situation? Because our American listeners should know, Obama is part of the pressure that's been put on your Chancellor, Merkel, to
right.
force her to go ahead with the bailout. What are you going to be doing in Germany to shift the situation there?
Well, actually, in Germany, everything is very unstable. So we are mobilizing like hell now, as if we would have elections next week. So we are organizing our basis of people, subscribers, supporters, distributors, people who are in contact already with us. We get to them that they have to double their time they are spending for helping us. They have to help themselves by mobilizing all their people. That we go back to everyone who freaked out about everything on different points, get them briefed, get them on the right track, and get them mobilized to go for that now. And we have we have different meetings in all over the country to get people also the idea that they should educate themselves to become candidates mobilize also for the different members of the German parliament, but also in the local districts. And we have the thing is that that more and more people who gave us the line before that you cannot do anything cannot do it anymore, because they see what is going on in Karlsruhe at the Constitutional Court, also on this liberal thing. And I mean, in these times where the whole system is coming down, everything depends on a few hands. And with the right ideas, which we obviously have, and the right passions, people who take this responsibility, they have to take it personal and act now, which means, getting in contact with us, and also show people that who are in contact with us have to join these deployments, what we are doing. And it is now time for action like never before. And this summer, it will be decided this summer if we can save, the dignity and the survival of the humanity or not. And I think people are aware of it somehow. The tendency to just, don't get too much on reality is still there, obviously. But, we are looking for the people who actually want to have a different direction, want to have a better life for the next generations. And these ones we will find, and we will make this change happen. And I think that has to happen as well in all other nations.
Well, Dave, that is also the spirit, what the slate is spearheading in the United States. I assume we're going to continue with days of action, but we've got to get a population to stop whining. I think
right.
We see so many people who say, well, you can't do it, you can't win. And these are people who haven't gotten their butt off the living room couch in a year. So, Dave, what are you doing? How are you going to move these people in these next days?
Well, I think obviously the doubling of our efforts up here in terms of manpower and an ability to just saturate the whole state and, really pound on the congressional district as being a nerve center for the whole area, I think that in combination with what we're doing around the country with the slate and so on, days of action in D.C., that's how we'll move this forward. And I think also to recognize that this has been an ongoing process. We are the recognized leaders of this fight. I even just was thinking back to happened to have been fortunate enough to be out when Kasia's campaign for the state parliament there, North Rhine-Westphalia. But she was pushing for a return to the Deutschmark back then and was a recognized leader around that. And at the same time, Kisha was out there as well. So I think what you see is a real international perspective that we have been the leadership on this. Now we have an opening that what the British have done to move. And I think to the American people, we got to say, look, the prison door has swung open. And are you just going to sit in here and because it's more comfortable? Or are you prepared to get out and lead this and actually have progress in mankind again? Because that's the only way we can go to get out of this crisis.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think the importance of the international perspective is crucial, because there's also, the beyond the scope of today's discussion, is what President Putin is doing in Russia, what the Chinese are doing, that if we can get Glass-Steagall in the United States with this British offer, then we can transform the world. And I think both of you spoke quite beautifully about this on the program today. I'll say to our listeners, get on our website, get the information. Don't get stuck inside the information. Take it out. Go out and mobilize, because this is the opportunity, as Lyndon LaRouche, who knows a thing or two about world politics. LaRouche said, this is the best opportunity we're going to have. So this is our program for today, Saturday, July 14th, 2012. Kasia and Dave, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks,
thank
Harley.
You.
Thanks, Kasia.
And we'll be back next Saturday at 3 p.m. for another edition of The LaRouche Show.